This is a monster that is within all of us. And it's a monster that must be subdued. I don't care who you are, preachers. You know, I've never seen so much jealousy as I have seen among preachers. One preacher has a big church and another one doesn't. They get jealous. God starts using one preacher in one way and another preacher gets jealous. So these are supposed to be the men of God, right? These are supposed to be the spiritual leaders. And they're dealing with jealousy in their own spirit. They're dealing with envy in their own hearts. And so if they're dealing with it, I have to come to the realization that even church members are dealing with it.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us
today as we continue our series titled, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Envy, Subduing the Green-Eyed Monster.
Out all the city of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with timbrels and joy and with instruments of music. And the women spoke one to another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul watched enviously David from that day onward. And it came to pass on the next day that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David escaped from his presence twice. Today, I want to speak to you on something that is relevant to all of us. Again, a topic that was requested by one of the members, and that is envy or jealousy. And the title of the message today is Subduing the Green-Eyed Monster. Subduing the green-eyed monster. Whether you want to accept it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, there is a green-eyed monster, such as on the screen, that's inside of all of us. You say, that's not in me. Yes, it is. And I'm going to show you this morning that it's in you. It's in every one of you that's out here, from the youngest child to the oldest adult that's here. You think of Christmas, and when kids get presents for Christmas. Why is it that one child is envious of another child, of something that they got? Oh, I wish I would have got that. Just by nature of the fact that a child would make a statement like that shows them that they got this monster inside of them, this green-eyed monster. This phrase comes from a play written by Shakespeare. It was uttered by Othello when his enemy came to him and said, oh, beware, my lord, of jealousy. It is the green-eyed monster which doth mock the meat it feeds on. Nobody knows what Shakespeare had in mind when he called jealousy the green-eyed monster, but what an appropriate title for that animal, for that monster that lives inside of all of us. I was watching a sermon on TV one day by James Merritt, who pastors a church outside of Atlanta. And he gave an illustration. He told about these two girls who were in Channelsville, Texas, which is a suburb outside of Houston. And both of them had nice homes, nice cars, and they came from nice families. But these two girls were fierce in their competition athletically. And they were cheerleaders. And these two young ladies were always competing with each other in the cheerleading squad. And he goes on to say, Amber Heath and Shanna Holloway live right around the corner from each other. They had been friends for years. Amber was president of the student council and Shanna was vice president. Their mothers were also wonderful friends. The girls both went to the same private Christian school, and the moms would even take turns driving the kids to school. Everything was fine between these two families until sixth grade. That's when Amber beat Shanna out for cheerleader. The two girls had always competed against one another, but Amber had been competing in beauty contests since she was four, and she always seemed to have the edge over Shanna. Shanna's mom, who attended a local evangelical church several times a week, in fact, she was the organist for the church. She resented the fact that her daughter, Amber, was constantly losing out, or that her daughter was constantly losing out to Amber. She tried unsuccessfully to get Amber disqualified from the cheerleading competition. She invoked technical rules, which they didn't listen to her. One year, she even showed up at school when they were voting for the cheerleaders and handed out rulers and pencils with the slogan, "Shanna Holloway for cheerleader." But the result of the mother's actions, her own daughter was disqualified. Finally, Shanna's mother could not take it any longer. She allegedly tried to hire a hitman to kill both Amber and her mother. Trying to find someone to do it, she mentioned it to her former brother-in-law, who notified the police, who wired an officer who posed as the hitman. According to the tape, the recording of the hitman, he told her that the woman paid him $5,000 to kill the mother and $2,500 to kill the daughter. Miss Holloway couldn't come up with that much cash, so she gave the hitman a pair of her diamond rings as down payment for killing just the mother. She was arrested and under capital murder, charged with capital murder, and sentenced to 15 years in jail. Now, why did all this happen to this lady? All of this happened because of envy and jealousy. Here she was a Christian. Here she was a church organist. Here she was a child of God, hiring a hitman to kill another woman and her daughter simply because she was jealous that the one girl beat her daughter out all the time. This is a monster that is within all of us. And it's a monster that must be subdued. I don't care who you are, preachers. You know, I've never seen so much jealousy as I have seen among preachers. One preacher has a big church and another one doesn't. They get jealous. God starts using one preacher in one way and another preacher gets jealous. So these are supposed to be the men of God, right? These are supposed to be the spiritual leaders. And they're dealing with jealousy in their own spirit. They're dealing with envy in their own hearts. And so if they're dealing with it, I have to come to the realization that even church members are dealing with it. One girl may be jealous that another girl has a particular boyfriend that she liked, and that causes jealousy. Somebody may be jealous because another saint got a new car or a new house, and they get jealous because of that. And so it creeps up, and it comes up so subtly, but yet and still it takes control of us. And so in all of us, I don't necessarily know. I read several sermons on envy and jealousy, and there was a couple of sermons entitled Slaying the Green-Eyed Monster. And I started to name the sermon Slaying the Green-Eyed Monster, but I said, no, I'm going to name it Subduing the Green-Eyed Monster, simply because I don't know that this is something that can be slain. I think it's something that's always going to be inside of us, and we have to work constantly at trying to keep that monster subdued. And if you don't, it will control your life. What is envy, jealousy, and covetousness? I went to the dictionary and looked up the meaning of these three words. Envy is a painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, joined with a desire to possess the same advantage. Jealousy is feelings of hostility towards a rival or one believed to enjoy an advantage. And covetousness is an inordinate desire for another's possession. Now, these three words have one thing in common. And the one thing that it has in common is that it's a desire to possess something that belongs to someone else. And so, for the sake of this sermon, you know, someone may separate these three words and identify them separately, and I guess you can do that. But for the sake of this sermon, I'm just going to lump them all into one and say that they're all three. And basically what it boils down to is that it's a feeling of hostility and resentment towards someone else because they have something, or maybe we could even say someone, that you desire. And that's this green-eyed monster, jealousy. As we look at the Bible, we see that there are a couple examples of envy. We see that Cain, he was envious of Abel. That when God accepted Abel's offering and he didn't accept Cain's offering, that Cain got jealous of his brother and he went out and he killed him. Ahab, King Ahab, went out and saw a vineyard that belonged to a man named Naboth. And he came back to his house, grown man, grown 30, 40, 50-something year old man. I don't know how old he was. Came back whining, head down, looking depressed and discouraged. His wife Jezebel said, "What's wrong with you, man?" He said, "Because Naboth has a vineyard, and I want it. I want his vineyard." She said, "Well, just go get it." He said, "I asked him, could I have it?" And he said, "No." She said, "Well, go take it." And so Ahab and his wife Jezebel, they concocted a scheme, and Naboth was found guilty, and he ended up being killed. And Ahab got his vineyard simply because of jealousy. And then when we look at our text today, we see that David, or Saul, was jealous of David because David killed Goliath. And when David killed Goliath and came back, the ladies were singing a song. And it was the number one song on the pop chart. And the song was, "David has killed his 10,000s, but Saul has only killed thousands." And this song was being sung throughout the nation. It was a popular one. As people sang it, they were jamming it. They were doing, put all kind of dances to it, all kind of moves to it. And this was the song that the people were singing. And Saul heard the song, and Saul got jealous. So we see that just in these three illustrations right here, even for three different reasons, right? Three different reasons people experienced envy and jealousy. What are some of the objects of envy? What are the objects of envy? I call these, you know, as we look at them, we have some P's here. The first one is position. Now, I want you, I just don't want you to sit there as I go through this, because, you know, I believe, you know, I grew up in church, and all the time that I was growing up, the preacher would stand up there and preach. Let me take that back. I didn't grow up in church. When I went to church, all right, because I didn't grow up in church. But when I went to church, all I heard the preacher was telling me what I was doing wrong, and telling me what I needed to do, but never telling me how to address the situation. So I don't know if you notice in my sermons, I just don't point out what you're doing wrong, and I don't just don't point out what you need to do, but I point out what you need, how you need to respond to what's being said from the Word of God. And so as we look at this today, just don't go through this and say, "Okay, well, Pastor Glaze, he sat down and he masterfully came up with five P's to illustrate the objects of envy." No, that's not what I want you to do. I want you to sit there and I want you to ask yourself the question as I go through each one, am I guilty of any of these? And I'll be honest with you, I know that I've seen myself in a couple. So I realize that when I point a finger out, as somebody said, there's always three pointing back at me. So I'm sure that you out there today, and this green-eyed monster, is Pastor Glaze is not the only one that the green-eyed monster attacks and that he has to deal with. So I want you, as we go through this, and I'm going to give you some specific illustrations so that you can even correlate to ask yourself the question, is this indicative and true of me? The first one is position, and that is we are satisfied on our job. We are satisfied with our position. But somebody else gets a promotion and we don't. So what happens? We get envious. Man, that should have been me. How did they get it?
I've been here longer than they have. I know the job better than they know it. You know, and we go through this whole, what is that? You know, all that is, that's envy. That's envy. Now, I have a tendency to jump ahead of myself, so I'm jumping ahead of myself now. But Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 that whatever state you're in, you should be content. And so you should already be content and realizing that if the situation is submitted to God, that if God is in control of the situation, then you're going to get to where you need to be. He's not, you know, I tell you what, God has opened up so many doors for me. And I'm not saying this in an egotistical way. I mean, from the time that I came, I haven't sought anything. I haven't sought one thing. I haven't sent my business card anywhere. I haven't called people up and sent a letter saying, the Lord just goes before me. And the Lord opens doors. And as you know, this year I've been doing the chapel for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, that's something that I always wanted to do. I was telling my wife, you know, I said, man, you know, I didn't play professional football, but, you know, that would be real nice to do that. You know, I'm sitting in my office one day, and the guy calls from the Steelers and says, can you do our chapel service? I didn't go down there and talk to Mike Tomlin. I didn't send a letter down there saying, could I be the chaplain? So what I'm saying is, if you are walking with the Lord, he works all these things out. He'll work it out for you, and he'll get you to where you need to go, and he'll get you to where you need to be. And so you're sitting there saying, well, you know what? They don't deserve that position. I deserve the position. Well, if you were supposed to be there, God would have got you there. Now, it might be that there's some wheeling and dealings went on in the back room. That might be very much true. But don't you think that God has the power to overcome wheeling and dealing? Don't you think God has the power to work in back room situations where deals are being worked? Don't you think God has the power to override that? And so if we see somebody getting promoted and we don't get it, praise God, I would just say mine. You know, evidently God wasn't ready for me right now. And I'm going to be patient and I'm going to wait on him. Oh, you stop preaching now, preacher. You stop and you done gone to meddling. Power. Some people are envious of people that have power. We see people with certain power or ability and they want to have the same clout as another person has. Now, I'm going to give you a perfect example. And hopefully nobody's here. But I done had, I don't know how many people over my 22 years as pastor here at Bethany Baptist Church that have come up to me and asked me, how do you become a deacon or a deaconess? Because that's what I want. Well, I said, you know, right there, your name goes on the bottom of the list. Now, why did they ask me that question? Because they probably want to sit up front on first Sunday with their black suit and white dresses. That might be one reason. But they somehow think that inherently there's some kind of power in that. So they are envious, and they desire. Now, I'm sure that if I ask the deacons and deaconesses that are here that how much power is in this position, and you know, if you balance the power with the responsibilities, the responsibilities far outweigh any power that comes with this, you know. So here you're being envious of something that, you know, you really might not. What they say, be careful what you pray for, right? Be careful what you pray for. Amen. Power. Some people are envious of power. Some people are envious of prosperity. Now, why is it that when we see wicked folk that seem to be getting ahead, when we see wicked folk that seem to be getting, you know, we know God is not blessing them, but they, you know, here we are struggling, you know, we're trying to do the right thing, and we find ourselves, you know, not having what we need to have or having what we want. You know, we look around and we ask God the question, why is it that these people who don't love you, they don't come to church, they don't worship you, they're not saved, and they got all these things, and here I am struggling. And so we begin to become envious of the prosperity of somebody else. We become, as it says in Psalm 73, we're going to look at that in a minute, we become envious of the prosperity of the wicked. And that's not a hard thing to do. You might say, well, I would never become envious of wicked folk. Well, you look on TV, all these commercials that you see, you know, brand new stuff, right? Oh, man, I wish I had that, you know. Look at, think about kids. Let me put up that green-eyed monster again up there, man. Think about kids. And this monster is inside of your child, all right? As sweet as your child is, as lovely as your child is, that monster is inside of your child. Because what do your child say? When they see commercials on TV with toys and all the other stuff, what do they say? I wish I had that. What is making them say that? Is it the Holy Ghost that's in them? That's making them say that? No, it's that green-eyed monster that's in them. That's what they want. It's that spirit of envy. And so that's why you as a parent, it is your responsibility to work with your child and to teach them how to be content with the blessings of God. Now, that's not to say that they're not supposed to have. Now, Pastor Glaze said that we're not supposed to get anything for Christmas. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I'm saying that it's the parents' responsibility to help kids deal with that green-eyed monster that's inside of them, to sit them down, talk to them, let them know that, okay, you know what, this is what you want. All right, let's talk about that. How can you get it? You know, what can you do? How can we work this out? And just don't let them go off and, you know, see, that's the problem with a lot of kids today, is that they get everything that they want, and when they get everything they want, then they want more. You know, what does somebody say? Get all you can all you get, and then sit on the can. That's what people do. And it's that green-eyed monster. Another one is praise. And that is, we get excited about serving God. We are on fire in the church, doing God's will and serving God. And then all of a sudden, somebody gets praise and we don't. Why did they get praise? Yeah. I'm doing just as much as they did. You know, that's why I'm going to say it right now. Let me go ahead and get it out right now. See, that's why I hate to give recognitions at events. Because you always leave somebody out. You know, so that's why I just say, and God bless Lottie Dottie and everybody. You know, because what are you saying? You know, do you think that when the pastor makes out, or the leader of a ministry makes out a list, that they say, well, let me make sure I leave this one off? Come on now. Now, maybe some people. I don't know. But I would say anybody that's trying to please God and walk with God, if you're heading up a ministry and you're reading recognitions and somebody's name gets left off, it's not because you intentionally did it. See, that's why I love, like, these preaching times on Sunday. I can say stuff like this now, right? You know, in the midst of it, you know, you can't say it because people's feelings are hurt. People got their jaws all puffed up and everything. But see, now you can say it, you can preach it, people can laugh, ha, 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 and then we can roll on, right? Nobody's angry at Pastor Glaze when they walk out the door. We all on one accord, right? So, you know, if you don't get the praise, you know, think about who you're doing it for anyways. That you're doing it for the Lord. But some people get envious and jealous because one person gets praise and another one doesn't. Possessions. Some people are content with their car or their house, and then all of a sudden their neighbor gets a new one, and what do they feel? They feel they got to get one themselves. They feel it's their time to get one. Now, I like this song. You know I was going to go here. Y'all know I was going to go here. Don't let the Joneses get you down, right? It says that the Joneses, listen to this, the Joneses got a new car today. Here's what you should say. Hooray for the Joneses. But instead you worry till your whole head turns gray. Worrying about the Joneses. Remember, it's their car and they're the ones who have to pay. So leave the Joneses alone. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Your car might be old, but it never failed to get you where you want to go. See, keeping up with the Joneses is going to make your life a mess. All right? It's going to drive you in the ground. So you can't try to keep up with the Joneses. And so these are things that people become envious of. So where did you see yourself at today? Where did you see yourself? I'll be honest with you. You know, sometimes, you know, I see myself dealing with that issue of recognition, you know, praise. And God just kind of smacks me and puts me back down and says, okay, come on, man. You know, come to reality. Come on back to reality. I'm in control. I got everything in my hand. Don't worry about it. You don't need the praise. You know, you don't need to have it. So we all deal with it. And we just, again, need to learn how to subdue this green-eyed monster. As we move ahead, we look at what are the results if you don't handle envy properly? What are the results if you don't handle envy properly? Five D's. First of all, distraction. Look at Psalm 73. Psalm 73. When you fail to handle envy, jealousy, when you fail to handle it the right way,